Hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Hi, everyone. I'm Christine Marie, and I like this title, More Life with the Girlfriends.
That's what we're striving for, aren't we? We're striving for more life.
Just life and more
growth.
Life.
We're striving for that higher and higher energy. We know when we see it when we talk spiritual talk, don't we? We can feel it.
You just know when you are in contact with that energy. Like our engineer, come on. He's got that soul. He's got that light in his eyes.
You know, I was listening to Tim Ferriss this week off and on podcasts and so forth like that. And we'll talk about a couple of topics that he talks about today. But he always talks about how I interview the masters of their industries and I dissect what they do so that we can take what they do.
He says he deconstructs. Yes, you know, that's the new thing. Like on the Cooking Channel, I've made a deconstructed hot fudge sundae, which means there's a little bowl of ice cream. Next to it is a little bowl of hot fudge.
Yeah.
Another bowl of whipped cream.
Yeah.
And then a little tiny bowl of the cherry.
Or it's like this. It's the ice cream, and then it's hot fudge brittle, sideways, separate. And then they've, you know, instead of the cream, they put the cream in whatever they call it, that cold ice. Dry ice.
Dry
ice the cream.
Yes.
And then finally the cherry is just a cherry.
No, it's a dry cherry, and you have to...
Oh, yeah,
it's
dried.
Bring it...
Rehydrated.
Yeah, to bring it back to life. You have to give it CPR.
Yeah, that's deconstructed.
That's Tim Ferriss.
That's exactly...
He'll deconstruct the masters, the maestros.
Yes.
Speaking of maestros, you know, on our song, you know, back in France in the 60s,
yes.
I mean, when I had this was an Italian group, the Solo Mios,
mm-hmm.
when I wanted them to really create a song that reflected my biography back in the 60s when I did visit France and
mm-hmm.
and had all that. And so basically that song is my life, you know. I just wanted to say that. Back in France in the 60s.
The Solo Mios.
The Solo Mios do that song, and we were cool, and I have told you about my time with the mimes, right?
Yes, you have told us about that.
Yeah, and I mean, I had some maestros as well, but those French boys, you know, they ask for money.
Mm.
Is to have a little good time fun with them.
Oh.
And I thought to myself, yeah, you know, I'm from America, I'm an American, do I want to pay to have a good time?
Right.
And...
let's just face it, when you have a good time, you're always paying.
You're always paying. Even
if it's the next day, you're like, I'm paying for that.
I have a generous heart. I have a generous soul, you know. So I go, I'm going to pay, but I'm not going to pay you boys to have a good time. What I will pay you boys for is to leave in the morning.
That's right. Mm. Don't hang around me because I'm just too good.
Exactly.
I want you gone.
Just bring me my croissant and my rich coffee and then leave.
And then leave. Please. Don't let the door hit you in your ass. You know, I love this one song by Rod Stewart. And, you know, stay with me,
mm-hmm.
you know, stay with me. For tonight, you're going to stay with me. But tomorrow morning, don't be here when I wake up, okay? I'm going to give you the ride of your life, baby. But please, don't be here when I wake up.
Because I need the whole bed.
Yeah.
I sweat.
Or more like, I just have a dew in the morning. I have a rhythm to my day.
That's right.
I got to get up, work out, have coffee. Maybe wake up, have coffee, work out, read the paper. You know, I really don't get going on my day until about 10 a.m. But those first 3 or 4 hours,
that's what you're paying for.
I think Charlie Sheen said that too. I'm paying for you not to have sex with me, but to leave in the morning without strings, without you calling me. It was kind of funny. This is kind of okay. So everybody knows that we're on the spiritual quest, but I also listen to a wide variety of podcasts.
Really, Jill?
Yes.
You know,
we're on this growth trip where we're looking for more and more life and
more life.
And
more...
I want to apologize to everybody right now.
Why?
We're down a man. We usually have a man here
manning
the house.
Oh, true.
You know, taking care of Elliot.
Yes.
And he knows, little Elliot knows something's going on. And
oh,
so
no,
he's just
that's
crying.
Right. He's crying now? Is it, I can't hear it.
Oh, thank goodness.
I can't hear it.
Not going to give him a bone just quiet because I want to save
that
until he gets really bad.
Right.
And I'm hoping
you know what? Mm-hmm. That's going to be wild.
So I may just say, hey, Christine, talk amongst yourself for a second while I shove him a bone.
I guess I could reminisce about the days back in France in the 60s. I guess I could. Gorbachev and I, we had
a fling.
We didn't have a fling, but we used to drink. I used to match him vodka for vodka in the middle of the night, and he would tell me little stories that were a little bawdy.
Oh,
and I would tell him, you know, some of my days in France stories. And one time he told one that was so funny, I slapped him on the head, and oops, he got that red mark.
You know, can I talk about you, about my week a little bit?
About what?
My week a little bit.
Yes, you can.
Here's some of the things I need to talk to you about.
Okay.
And
is
how
this therapy?
It could be a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing is, you know, I'm still not fully into social media yet. And I met a longtime friend today. I met her just by shopping at Menards. Came up to me and she goes, Julie. And I'm like, who's talking to me? And like, oh, my gosh. And literally 20 years have gone by, 15 years have gone by since I've seen her. And of course, she looked different.
What'd you say?
She looked different.
Oh,
She said, cue the button. But I remember her at her age when the last time I saw her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's had kids, and she's darling, but she's... And then I realized, oh, my God, I probably look the same way to her. Like, we both aged. But, you know, we look good. Mm-hmm. But we've aged. And so I've had to update my picture for my mind because literally she, in my brain, in my memories, are of this young, you know, this younger woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was funny seeing her. And she kind of chastised me a little bit.
She did?
She goes, Julie, why aren't you on Facebook? I go, well, I know you have an account because I tried to friend you once. I go, I know. I go, is it worth it, really?
Mm-hmm.
She goes, yes, it's worth it. It came up with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I go, why? And this is the thing. I just feel like Facebook is, I want to be better at Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a part of me that says, you're just sharing.
What? I don't know.
I don't know.
We must have missed it because in the early days, I was on Facebook, and I truly enjoyed it. I really did. And then they changed stuff. And then I just...
Couldn't get it.
And then I didn't get it. Then all these people... I mean, I have like 5,000 friends.
Right.
And then everything was like they'd send you an advertisement for something. They were trying to ultimately sell you something.
Everybody's trying to sell you something, and then, you know...
Yeah, I kind of liked it when you could just... uplift someone,
Exactly.
Julie, you're right. I kind of missed the mark, too, but you know what? We have to get better at it if we're going to be...
Well, I think the reason why I've missed the mark is because I know that what comes with this potential for good also comes with the potential for bad. And saying all the negative comments that come your way, or you open yourself up. I mean, I was talking to a friend, and she was saying, oh, so-and-so is really mad at so-and-so or somebody because I just keep getting to her feed, and it's like, F this, F that, F that. I'm like, you're seeing this? It's not like a private message? No, it's not private. Somehow I'm a friend of this person, and I'm seeing what she's writing through my feed or something like that, but I'm not seeing why she's so upset.
Wow.
That just seems ridiculous.
And then I was listening to like T.D. Jakes, and he was like, don't be a hater.
Yeah.
Now, you don't have the energy. You don't have the time. You know, you shouldn't have that kind of space taken up, real estate taken up in your brain to be that hater. And I do hear Elliot now.
Oh, do you?
I do hear him a little bit.
Okay, maybe
I don't think it's, I don't know if it's coming to the line or if it's coming just, you know.
I see
the
house, yeah.
Yeah, but you know that that one woman from Illinois that hung herself in Texas. She was, looking for a job, and they said that she had posted something, you know, either on Facebook or YouTube, you know, saying that she had PTSD, which is post traumatic stress disorder. She was saying this, and that she was depressed. She said, "But I am not going to let that stop me from uplifting you, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, there's like you said, there's neutral social media. There's, I guess, good uplifting. And then there's the stuff that is eerie, you know,
yeah.
that has some foreshadowing to it.
Right. I didn't hear that. I haven't been keeping up with that story. I mean, she's from Naperville, which is very close to us. And
mm-hmm.
I believe that's where she's from.
Mm-hmm.
It just was a sad story all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even talk much about it because I don't feel like I know enough.
I don't either.
And it just, when, you know, you just...
I don't either, you know.
Yeah.
Here is what I do know. Like, you know, Normano has a penchant for parking in the fire lane at Walmart. And so if I'm waiting in the van...
Yeah, you like that, though.
Okay, I do.
Yeah. It drives me crazy.
And, I mean, everybody, you know, comes by and says hello or whatever, but he only does it when he's going to just run in and out. But,
right.
Of course, that means limp in and limp out, you know. Or,
right.
And so a cop pulled up, and he didn't get out of his car. He just, you know, and I'm in the passenger seat, and I have my legs up, you know, on the
right.
dash, and we're in the van, so the... And he's like, gives me the thing, like, move this. And I shake my head, no, I'm not going to move it, you know, like that.
But wait.
And I did, because I just, Norm is going to be coming right out. He just ran in for something, you know.
Right.
And that would be, I thought that'd be silly. So he gives me this, like, oh, jeez. And he gets out. No, I think he first goes and does our license plate
right.
first. And then after he does that and checks, he comes over to my side of the van.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, she really is going to be right out. He goes, this is a fire lane, ma'am, and you need to move this vehicle. And I said, I really can't move this vehicle. I'm not going to move it. I have a dog in here, and he'll just go crazy. And he just kind of, I don't know, but he...
Then he pulled you out of the van.
And then he goes like this. Yeah, he could, no. He goes, then I will have to issue you a ticket. And I went, oh, is it really expensive? He goes, it's $10 if you pay it today. Otherwise, it's $30. I go, okay, give me the ticket, you know.
And that was nice of the guy.
As I'm saying that, though, Norm's walking toward the van. I go, look, my husband's here. I'm giving you the ticket. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he could have been...
He
could have been worse, but here's what I want to say. The energy that he exuded, you know, here I am, this woman, I got this dog that's barking, and, you know, I don't know how appropriate the energy that he, you know, shot at me
right.
was appropriate for, you know, fire lane, 2 minutes that Norm was, you know, in
the
thing. So when I did pay the ticket, I did say, you know, overall I felt that I'm paying the $10. I felt that the officer was respectful. You know, I said he had he was pleasant, but he had a, you know, real air of authority. You know, so
and then probably a sergeant goes, good job.
Good job.
He said you were respectful plus an air of authority. Yeah, like Carmen. Respect my authority.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, sweetie, can I give Ellie a bone?
Sure, thanks. Sure. Yeah, go ahead. Did you want me to keep talking, though, Julie? Mm-hmm. I guess so. We are just waiting for Julie, who has given Elliot a bone.
Yeah, that was quick, huh?
Was that good? That was great. I didn't tell any stories. I just said what you were doing.
Oh, thank you, because I was back that quickly. Good.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's keep him occupied.
Yes. How's he enjoying it?
Good.
Good, yeah.
We
took him to the dog park today with Bear, who's mm-hmm. a big St. Bernard. And the only thing that was, I guess, they really ran well. But somebody had, and this dog park is huge.
Yeah, it's very nice.
One thing we have out here in the country is we have space.
Mm-hmm.
We just have space. And so they were running wild, and somebody had thrown up on the ground. And what they did, they covered it. That was the best they could do.
With just a little plastic container.
Yeah, which was silly because we've had huge rain.
Yeah.
and it would be gone by now.
Yeah.
But it wasn't dog. It was, did I say it was dog throw up?
Yes.
It wasn't. It was people throw up.
Are you sure?
I guess I'm not 100% sure.
Is that what Normano said?
Yes.
It looked like dog food. So, I mean,
oh,
it
really?
Could have been people.
Somebody eating dog food?
Did that.
Dang.
It was a lot of it. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
It was nauseating. I saw it today. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. So I'm thinking if, you know, if this ever happens again, I think somebody should. I don't know, because it's been there for 2 days now. Should they keep it covered, or should somebody just uncover it? And
what you could do is
let
just,
the rain wash
or get
away.
You know, fill the water up, you know, and just pour water on it. Keep pouring water on it.
That's true.
I know it's a lot more hassle and
that's
so forth.
That's a big hassle, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. We've done our throw up. Why should we pick it up? Because we have a dog that's just totally interested
yeah.
in it.
Oh yeah, we used to have this. We created a haiku called Ode to Elliot,
mm-hmm.
and a haiku is seven. Five and seven, seven syllables, five syllables, and seven syllables. And so it was, I saw you eat poo. You wanted to kiss me, but I saw you eat poo. So that was our Ode to Elliot haiku.
Ode to Elliot.
Yeah. But I can't figure out the you know, I saw you eat vomit.
Too many.
You wanted to kiss me,
vomit.
But I
many.
Can't do it.
Unless you took the I out of vomit and I saw you eat vomit.
Is there another word? Is there another word
puke.
For vomit? Oh, good.
I saw
good.
You eat puke.
I saw
That's
you
it.
Eat puke. There you go.
I fixed our haiku.
Yeah, you did it, girl. You fixed the haiku. I saw you eat puke. You wanted to kiss me, but
I saw you eat puke.
Oh, so now we've got two.
Yes.
Haikus.
Puke and poo. Two P words.
Two P words.
I saw you lick pee. You wanted to kiss me, but I thought you wanted to lick pee. You know. Yeah, it's
how come that pee, poo, and puke, they're all P letters, P words?
Because that's a funny letter. It's a funny sounding word.
You realize what your last name is.
Yes,
don't
I do.
You?
It is. I
Peters.
Know. I know. That's right. Mm. That's funny in itself. It's hysterical. So what's been going on the internet a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
I want to pose this question because you and I are firm believers, and we've been really working on this. We believe that our words are powerful.
Yes.
And that what we say matters.
You bet.
And so we really choose our words closely, and we don't get into negativity. We also believe, as we're living this life and getting, you know, we believe that all situations work for good.
Yes.
And so when a problem comes up, and if we fail at it or we, you know, move over it or whatever, it really is all about learning and all about solving a problem at a higher level, at a higher frequency. And by
Very
solving
good.
That problem,
yes.
At a higher frequency, we then evolve.
Yes.
We have transcended.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get that, it changes your life because then nothing's bad.
Mm-hmm. And what also is important that at that level is fear, because
yes.
fear does taint things, and I think the higher you go and transcend things, hopefully that fear doesn't have that kind of hold on you that it used
yeah.
to.
Yes. You made me laugh, but that's okay.
I did?
Yeah.
What did I say?
Taint. Yeah, totally.
Last week you said short.
I know. Totally appropriate, totally appropriate word to use, by the way. So the discussion
generally, is that a higher level word?
Yes.
Okay.
The discussion that was on the web was this idea that the word just is used by women way too often, and it's used as an apologetic word, and we need to knock it off.
Explain.
Okay, I will. Like, when we interrupt somebody, we go, hey, oh, just one thing.
Ah.
Or like, hey, just cause, just me. It's just me here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, it's just Julie.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to use just as a way of saying it's, you know, it's not nothing important.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I'm just apologizing now for
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I need to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And so the buzz on the web has been, oh, we need to stop using this word. Because first of all, men typically don't use this word.
Mm-hmm.
As much as women do.
Hmm.
And that it could be used as apologies.
Hmm.
And I wanted to ask you how you felt about that, because sometimes I get so tired of people critiquing it, critiquing level language at that level.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do believe sometimes that I think it's appropriate to use the word just in a lot of situations.
Right.
When someone says, hey, just me, I'm like, oh, great. You're coming here for fun,
mm-hmm.
you know, not bringing in 10 other people.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The word just actually has a lot of meaning behind it. Or just got one question instead of saying, one question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Just is like, hey, just got one question. Mm-hmm. Not a big ordeal. I don't have 15 million dimes, you know,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
And they're suggesting that, hey, it's much clearer language to omit the word just from our vocabulary. And when you get into the habit of how often you say the word just, I have to say that I probably do say it quite a bit.
Right, right. Well, I'm sure I do, too.
And I don't know if I find it. I probably don't hear it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So for someone to pick up on it and, mm-hmm. you know, of course, some CEO of some big company saying, we must stop this now, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it was a Silicon Valley CEO. And
really?
Yes, I believe
saying that we can't, we should
women
minimize
should,
the word just
yes.
in our language.
In our language.
That's, well, first of all, somebody from the tech area,
yes.
you know, in Silicon Valley, that in itself is weird, you know, because, at some point, I really just believe, you got to put your big girl panties on
yes.
and get over a lot of stuff. And like you said, sometimes you don't even hear this anymore because we're really operating at a different level. If somebody
yes.
comes to you and says, hey, just a minute, I got a quick question or something, you're like, sure, that's no problem.
Yeah. Hey, a minute, I got a quick question
yeah.
for you.
But
hey,
if you
know what, a minute? You want one of my minutes?
Yeah.
But just a minute? Hey, I'll give you just
yeah.
a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're being too intrusive. You just omit the just.
Mm-hmm.
It does soften it softens the energy of it.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's the point. We're trying to soften our
mm-hmm.
command, our demands, where men just tell it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking men need to soften up a little bit.
Mm.
Why do we gotta go that route?
That's true. Like, I can remember I had this, I wouldn't call her a friend, but a pretty close acquaintance.
Call her a frenemy?
A frenemy. We worked in close proximity to each other years and years ago. But she would say, oh, Chris, you know, hey, what are you, you know, you got plans for Friday afternoon? Gee, not right now, I don't, you know. Well, I'm moving. You know, there was just some kind of, like, a way that she would do this.
Yeah, I
that
get
you
it.
Get trapped.
I know.
And
I did that one time, and I learned my lesson.
Yeah, did you really?
Yeah. I go, that is stupid of me to say it like that.
Because
mm-hmm. I was asking somebody, hey, you got plans Friday night? And I'm like, well, why? I go, well, I'm not going to ask if you have plans. And like, well, I want to know first what it is before I go. And I'm like, oh, you know what? That's probably true.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought I was being kind. Like, I don't want to ask you. You can always tell me no.
Yeah. Oh, you're so sweet.
But I don't want to ask you if you got plans.
Right.
And when they're like, well, wait a minute. I may have plans,
if I don't want to do this.
You, but if you have a better idea,
yeah.
my plans are disappearing.
Yeah. And it's always, you always feel like you're caught. You
exactly.
know, and when one of those... You're like, come on into my web, little fly. And I'm
exactly. Exactly. Come into my web. Exactly.
Mm.
It's so funny. You know, and so it kind of grows. This is my thought as well. I do sometimes wonder if language needs to change. Does this mean that we're getting dumber or smarter? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
If, as a whole, we use things inappropriately.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my example. Ironic. We don't use that word correctly,
mm-hmm.
but we all know what it means when we say it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the song, isn't it ironic, don't you think? You know, it's like mm-hmm. rain on your wedding day. That's not irony.
Mm-hmm.
It's just bad luck. It's bad. It's not irony. But we get that, you know. We get it. But we all know what we mean when we say, well, that's ironic,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But we're really not saying it appropriately. And then the other thing is, the word supposedly.
Oh, my gosh.
It's supposedly, and I used to say supposedly.
I know. I thought that was so darling.
I know, until you told me. And I'm like, please, Mom, you should have corrected me years ago.
I did. But, I think there's a whole generation out there that still says it.
Oh, yeah, the younger generation does say supposedly.
Yeah.
And so.
Maybe Webster has included it now.
Could be.
But when you were a little girl, you used to say it, and I would just, like, melt every time you said it. And then I thought, I really thought about it.
As I turned 19.
Yeah, I said, you know, as you go out into that great big world, Julie, I got one thing to say.
Yeah. It's not supposedly.
It's not supposedly. It's supposedly. Anyway. Are you kidding? You let me all these years. Like, but it's so darling.
I feel like a moron. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just use that word 20 times a day. Well, how about backing off on that then, Julie? Mm-hmm. You're just using that way too much.
Exactly.
You know, it also goes along with this idea of almost, the word almost.
Oh, my gosh. You are so brilliant on this word right now.
I almost had a car accident.
I know, Julie, because I almost saw this wreck. It was like crazy.
I almost saw it.
I almost took that checker at the Walmart. I almost put my fist down her throat.
Yeah, I almost decked her one.
They go, how was your day, honey? I almost did this. I almost did that.
I almost won the lottery.
I almost won the lottery.
But didn't. And so is that just filler language? It's just nonsensical. Mm-hmm. I know that you had expressed an idea with me a day where if you're not speaking God's word in some sense,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yes.
Everything is superfluous.
I love it. That's a new one. That's a new word. You know, girlfriend, you are fabulous and you are superb. You know what? You are superbulous. I love it.
What's the word?
Superfluous.
That says superfluous.
I think superfluous is just as good.
Super.
And fabulous.
Fabulous. Superbulous.
Superb and fabulous. Yeah.
Thank you. That's my new word.
Yeah.
We'll get it going. We'll pass it around.
Yeah, start that one now.
Exactly. And so, but it was interesting how this, you know, the just thing came up and how it got traction. But I always, I have to admit, because I always do say sorry quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it means nothing but, oh, I am sorry that, mm-hmm. that you had to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like to see my, you know, I'm not to blame.
No.
I'm not saying I'm to blame.
You're not saying sorry as an apology.
No,
you're saying
no.
I'm sorry that you had to go through that.
Yeah,
and it was disturbing for you.
Yes, I
know a lot of people go, oh, I'm so sorry, and they go, why? It's not your fault.
And I'm like, you know what? Screw you.
Yeah, screw you.
I'm glad it happened to you.
Yeah. Don't jump down.
Now I know why it happened to you, because you're one of those people that, you know, the glass is always half full, half empty, mm-hmm. or half full of gasoline.
Exactly.
And I have to drink a bittersweetness.
Yes.
You know.
That bittersweet.
That gasoline.
Yes, that bittersweet drink of envy.
Exactly. Oh, jealousy. Bittersweet.
Jealousy.
So I kind of feel like that, all those words mm-hmm. are right in there.
Mm-hmm.
They're in that part of language that I don't mind. I think it does soften the language because, honestly, unless you're, I don't know, there's not much people can say we say that's really that important.
Mm-mm. You know, there are words that we've lost in, you know, in the English language.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the 70s, we really, truly did say groovy. That is groovy. I mean, hardly, you know, like, hey, Julie, I almost said groovy today.
Yeah, we don't say that anymore.
Nobody says groovy.
No.
Or like far out. People say dude all the time.
Dude, yeah. And that's a softer way. I don't know if men say this.
Or saying man or bro.
I think dude is a softer way of saying, mm-hmm. dude, like, hey, man,
yeah.
you really ticked me off.
Yeah, moron.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's
dude,
a softer way.
Dude. That was my parking spot.
Yeah. Instead of saying the A word, A-H word,
mm-hmm.
you know, or the M moron word.
what is the moron word, Julie?
Just moron.
Moron?
You're the moron. So can I tell you what happened today, this week?
Mm-hmm.
I literally, this is the truth, I literally was almost in a car accident.
Really?
100%. And when I mean almost, I'm watching it go down. Not almost saw it, I actually saw it go down, and mm-hmm. I knew it was going to happen.
And you were almost in it?
I literally was almost in it, because
wow.
he was right in front of me.
Wow.
And so I'm driving the big rig.
The 18-wheeler?
Well, this one has less because it's got super single.
Oh, that's right.
Because I'm a super single.
A 14-wheeler?
Yeah, actually it would be. And Yeah, it would
be. Yeah, girl, and you are super single.
Exactly. And so I'm...
Super single.
Oh, here's I need to tell you a couple of things first. Mm-hmm. Okay, so everybody knows my dad had a heart attack, so I've been helping him out with trucking, yada, yada, yada. So anyway, driving in Chicago area, you know, mid-morning traffic, but going pretty fast. And a friend of mine and dad's, who's a semi-driver, you know, finds me, goes, Julie, go to child 25 or 26. And so I do on the CB, and we're chit-chatting. And he's a nice guy, but we're literally off and on chit-chatting for a long time, mm-hmm. you know, because whatever.
Know how that goes, yeah.
Yeah. And so back and forth, and I go, and I'm driving, and I'm like, oh, man, there's a car driving really erratically. And he goes, oh, I saw that. You better get around him fast, because he was pulling on when I was passing him, and he was, you know, going real slow.
What's wrong with the car?
It was going, well, it was a Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a new one, maybe like 6-7 years old,
mm-hmm.
black. And what he was doing was, and so he's right in front of me, and there's a car in front of him and then a tanker semi. And he's trying to get past people, but he's doing a horrible job. Like, he's swinging out to the left lane, cutting back to the right lane. He swings out into what is like a merge lane, so he thinks it's another lane until it ends into back into the other lane. And he's going fast, he's going slow. And so I'm basically saying at this moment, I'm going to tell the people behind me on the CB,
right,
no one should pass right now because there's this car,
right,
that's driving like crap.
Erratically.
And so I know that I'm backing off, and then on the left-hand side, this one truck, who I'm assuming is going to be passing me, I'm thinking he sees it too because he's not passing as well.
Oh, good. Oh, thank God.
And so I'm seeing him, and I'm watching him going, he's going to have an accident. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind this can't end any way but
mm-hmm.
bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have backed off more, but I didn't because
mm-hmm.
I'm still like, we're still going on the highway. He's in front of me, thank God.
He's right in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm good distance away. I'm appropriately
mm-hmm.
6 seconds back,
mm-hmm.
if everybody knows what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it's him and me, you know, and then the car and then the tanker, and it's just two lanes. And
is it two lanes on yours? Or
yeah.
Is it four? Okay.
Two lanes on median and two lanes.
Okay.
So he gets into the left-hand lane. He tries to get over. Literally, the car is right there, though. She swings on her brakes. He scoots in and literally slams into the tanker.
Oh, my.
Just slams into it.
Oh, my God.
And so then we all have to stop abruptly and all this nonsense
mm-hmm.
and come to... and. Yeah, and so...
Did he slam into the back of the tanker?
Back into the tanker.
Okay.
And in some ways, it couldn't have been a better scenario for him because he's going 55, tanker's going 55, so at the time of impact, he's probably going 56, 57, which means it was a 2 to 3 mile an hour impact.
Mm-hmm.
And we all just came to a stop, including
mm-hmm.
the truck. And except that, and gratefully, I was able to get around him because it just happened right in front of me.
Right.
So I didn't have traffic.
Just kept moving, right?
Just kept
yeah.
moving.
Yeah.
And so then I called the police, letting them I saw this, and you know, and it was just crazy because I
wow.
knew it was going to happen. So the word it, you know, I just missed an accident.
Right.
It just, that works.
Yes.
And also,
yes.
I almost had an accident.
Yes.
That worked, too.
That worked, too, yeah.
So that was the only time, I think, that I could have done this.
Uh-huh.
Now, the other time I used just in that same conversation was when I was talking to Doug about the accident. I was saying, yeah, I was talking with Randy for a couple hours on the CV, you know, and he's like, who's Randy? Why are you talking to him for a couple of hours? Like, oh, he's just an older guy, friends with my dad. He's just you know, a trucker, you know, he's just lonely. He's just that. No big deal.
He's just a lonely trucker.
You know, he's, you know, just driving he's away from his wife, you know, six
mm-hmm.
days a week, and sees her once, and so, you know, just want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing big.
And you're saying that with your shoulders high, like,
yeah.
you know, like.
My voice is going high.
It's just a lonely guy.
Just a lonely guy.
Yeah.
So who's this Randy dude that you're talking to for a couple hours? Because I know we're not talking for a couple hours a day.
Mm.
That's right, we're not.
That's right.
Because we've got nothing to say. No.
Isn't that true, though? It's like like Norm's at his reunion this weekend, and you know we he's called me a couple times, and it's just like, how you doing? Good. That's
good.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, have a good night's sleep. You know, there's nothing really to say.
No.
You know?
Well, and it's
but
funny,
then
yeah.
if I call my girlfriend or something, yeah. you know, 90 minutes.
Yeah.
120 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, should we hang up? I don't know. I could go to the side.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, it's so funny because this weekend you and I were alone this weekend.
I know.
And it was so much fun.
I know.
And it was great because we really reconnected.
We did because we don't spend any time hardly together.
No.
Just a few minutes here and there.
And
just,
now we're on Sunday night.
That's right.
Which is one reason why we love this show so much.
I know. It's almost too good to be true.
It really is. And so this week I have, you know, I believe in the power of three. If I hear something three times with three different people, I know I'm supposed to take notice.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't cite who said these things. It's just through, you know, whatever forms. So all through this week, and I want to propose this to you, and can we commit to this?
Mm-hmm.
Was this idea that we don't allow ourselves enough fun and we don't schedule
yes.
fun. We don't yes. schedule vacations.
Yes.
We don't.
We just don't schedule fun.
We don't schedule fun. We don't schedule vacations.
Yeah, because I know the first thing that we did when we were together is we created this list.
Yes.
Of all the things that we wanted to do. And I think you said, and number 23
yes.
was something. I can't remember what it was now, but... Get a birthday present for somebody
yes.
or wrap it.
Yeah.
But we had
number 23.
Yeah, we had 23 things.
In
2 days that we wanted to do.
Yes.
And in any of that we didn't schedule fun. But once we started getting together, we started having fun. We're like, screw this.
Yes.
Let's rent, Wedding Ringer, which was the funniest movie, Pee in Your Pants movie.
I did.
Yeah.
Honestly, everyone out there,
yes.
if you wanted to see a funny movie, now it's rated R. So it was, there were moments. I mean, I told you it was rated R, and you said, how come it's rated R?
I thought I didn't understand because there was no boobies.
There was one half pair, half lower.
Half a pair?
Lower half.
The lower half of a boobie.
Okay. Because a girl, we saw the shot of a girl putting her top on.
Okay.
But it was just shot from like... I don't even think we saw the whole nipple,
mm-hmm.
but it was just like, or she had a crop top and she raised her hand and saw,
okay,
we
gotcha.
Saw low boobs.
Okay, so, but that was, and then a Fletcher, and I won't tell anybody what a Fletcher is, but they'll have to see the movie
right.
to understand.
The reason why it was rated R was because, why, Mom?
Because of language.
Yes.
All right.
And I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah.
I was shocked how much I laughed.
I was shocked how much I laughed, too. And, like, we were down to the last half hour, and then Normano called. We had to stop the movie.
Yes.
You had to go to the bathroom. We had to stop the movie. Doug called.
Yes.
We had to stop the So, like, the last half hour.
And he showed up.
And he came over.
Yeah.
And but we still got through it and totally enjoyed it.
We did. And it was so... And I wondered if we enjoyed it because we were having such a sweet day.
I think so. I mean, the
cherry
mood was elevated.
Yeah.
We were relaxed. You know,
it was our cherry of our hot fudge deconstructive Sunday.
It really was. And you had gotten Paul Blart Mall Cop, too.
Yes.
And we, you know what, we paid for that movie, but we were in such a high mood after Wedding Ringer, we went, screw it.
Yeah.
We're not going to watch that.
Well, it was funny because I took it as a sign of God, from God, because I had seen, because you walk into the family video and people are going, you still rent videos? Honestly, I love it. I don't rent videos very often, maybe once every 2 or 3 months for me.
Mm-hmm.
You and Dad do it quite often.
Mm-hmm.
But I like seeing the boxes. I like seeing,
right.
you know, it makes me, I'm
right.
like, oh, yeah, I want to see that movie.
Well, you know what, for me, it's a, I can I tell you why I do it? It is kind of fun just going to the video store, right?
Right.
But I dislike having to pay for movie channels.
Yes.
I really do, because like when I get my bill, if I really get all the movies, my bill would be like $20, $30 more
right.
a month. That bugs me. I don't like that being in my budget. But if I have, like, say, my cash for the week, and in my cash for the week, I go, oh, I'd like to, you know,
right.
$350 or whatever it is for a movie, then I sort of earn that. That's like that came out of my fun money that week,
right.
not my budget money. Is that crazy? Is that cray-cray?
No, it's not crazy at all. Yeah. And then, but it's interesting because, like, for the wedding ringer, so you walk into the video store, and it starts off on the right-hand side. You walk that way, and there's a big, all the new or semi-new releases are on the far walls, like outside walls, starting off with Z. So you walk it, and you're at the last of it. So wedding ringer was there before.
Right there.
Paul.
Yeah.
Paul Blart Mall.
Top two, yeah.
And so I knew we had talked about Paul Blart, and so I got that one. But I really wanted to get Wedding Singer. And then at the counter, it said $1.50 for Wedding Ringer.
What?
And I said, yes, let's get that.
Yes.
And it was just so much fun.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to rent it again this week so Normano can see it.
I hope he enjoys it as well.
But what if he doesn't like it as much as me and you had a good time watching it?
I don't know.
It is the rhythm of the day, you know.
For very much. Mm-hmm. And we had a lovely rhythm today as well.
Yes.
Even though our list did not get it achieved.
No.
But some stuff did.
We had a couple of things crossed off, but, you know, starting off with blueberry pancakes.
I made just
Sunday morning blueberry pancakes.
I know. And it was nice. I just made us one. I just made us a couple.
Yes.
A couple, too.
We didn't have to make one for Normano.
No. Just, I love that mix. It's like easy peasy.
Yes,
you know?
I know. It's such much fun.
Exactly. But I think that's why what came to me this weekend, one thing I think you and I do well is we know how to foster our close relationships.
Yes.
But we really don't schedule novelty.
Mm-mm.
Yet you and I and Dad and other people around us, we are good at making it novel in the moment, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
At least in us, our three, you know.
Yeah, and when you were in my life more, like you and I, we'd go on it. We'd go day trip,
you know? Exactly.
We'd go food crawl,
right? I don't do that anymore. I know. I miss those days.
I know.
But it was. It reminded me that it is important to. Like Tony Robbins talks about this in his relationship course a little bit, that there's nothing more bonding than going on a trip with somebody.
Yeah.
And we haven't allowed ourselves to do that
Mm-mm.
for a variety of reasons in a long time. What would it be like if we scheduled a trip, even a day trip?
Mm-hmm.
What would it be like if Doug and I, on the calendar, scheduled it? What would that be like? And I know what he'll say to me first.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get away. I go, what if I can get away?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, we can't afford it, you know, or whatever.
I know he'd say after that, well, can Hillary and Dave come?
Yes. And honestly, I'd be okay with that, too.
Yeah, really.
But and I know, like, for you and I,
mm-hmm.
what if we did a day trip or go away for the night?
I would love it.
Yeah.
I would love it.
And so
maybe we could go to the lake, Lake Michigan.
I would love that. But we don't. Tony Robbins, but this is Tony Robbins' life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He says every 6 weeks, him and his wife, you know, they really try and go away for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you probably go away a lot.
Quite a bit, I would say.
But, and so for us, would it be once every 6 months?
Oh, I think, no, I mean, for me and you, I think we should be, like, 4 times a year, we should do something
fun. 4 times a year.
Yeah.
And really schedule it.
Yes, just schedule it.
I would like that with Doug, and I mean, because it's the memories that count, and money comes and goes no matter what.
Right.
And
well, like when Dad had his heart attack, you know, you and I had to go to Michigan in, like, 40 degree.
Yes.
Below 40
zero.
Below zero Wind weather, chill. Yeah. And but I still remember that as kind of a cool road trip.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And I remember I said, don't worry. She goes, the van's so cold. I go, because it's 20 below zero, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
I go, literally, it's 20 below zero.
It was really not the wind chill. It was really 20 below. We
and
had
I go,
to drive
as soon as
six
we get,
and a half
yeah.
hours.
I go, as soon as we get to the lake, it'll be zero.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we cross the lake into Michigan, it'll be positive 5 or 6.
Right.
And it'll feel better.
It did feel better. As soon as the sun came up.
Yeah. Too. Like, yay, 5 degrees. Yay.
Oh, yay.
Oh, yay, 6 degrees.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yay.
And we were listening today to a podcast. I listened to it before, and I wanted to share this with you because I thought it was very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Charles.
Oh, Paquin, I think.
Paquin, I think. Yes. Anyway, and he talked about how he was reading some people at the time, and they were all saying, you know, we work too hard,
mm-hmm.
and we need to work better.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, the first thing I did was I started taking off. He would take off months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, that's nice.
I was a little jealous when I heard that. Sweet. But, you know, one of the things, there comes a point in your life where you sort of, something breaks open and you understand at a deeper level that it really is about, it's not about that, oh, if I work harder, I'll make more money. There's something deeper that happens that goes, if I take care of myself better, things become clearer.
Right.
I need less stuff.
Yes.
If I'm taking care of myself. I mean, things just are different.
100%.
Yeah.
You know,
and he took off all of December, all of January.
Yeah, all of August.
All of July.
All of July,
Like, wow, nice work if you can get it.
Yeah. And I thought, what if I could imagine my life differently?
Yes.
What would it take for me to have these huge breaks of time
mm-hmm.
where I could be a vagabond, where I could have, mm-hmm. you know, things in place, where I could travel.
I think it would be like I was listening to Gary Zukav, who was, I used to love his writings back in the 80s, and he wrote The Dancing Wu-Li Masters, and he talked about just this idea of deep reflection,
right?
That your body, your soul, your spirit needs this. And then that requires time, honey.
It does.
You know?
It does.
And that's why, I mean, even at the very minimum, this idea of daily meditation is important.
I totally agree with you.
Although he said he was actually talking about visualization, wasn't he, today? Or were you gone? When?
I didn't hear that.
No. Oh. He was just saying, there's a lot of people out there that visualize their... you know, their muscles getting bigger and bigger. He goes, that's not going to do it for you. He said, you actually have to do it.
that's when you realize the flaws in a lot of that. But if you go deeper with it, you know what that's all about.
Yes, you do.
You know what that's, it's really about getting your spirit and your soul lined up
mm-hmm.
so that you can have, you said, and a lot of this is perfect, you have willpower. If you see your soul as your will and you see your spirit as your power base, because mm-hmm. it's Christ,
yes.
you can get that body, you know, in line with
right.
it. Yes. Hey, you're going to do this stuff, and you're going to do it without fear, knowing
right.
from a
because
place
you really
of victory
truly have
that you're going to get there.
Activated willpower.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just this sort of superficial thing that the brain, that you think, oh, I just, you know, our personality level,
right.
I got me some willpower. But this is truly activated,
exactly.
the will to power, you know.
Yes.
Or the power to
will.
Either one.
Yeah, it works. And so it feels liberating.
Mm-hmm.
And both you and I have heard about the, you know, you were hearing him today. What was his name again?
The Charles Paquin?
No.
No?
On Oprah?
Oh, Gary Zukav.
Thank you, Gary
mm-hmm.
Zukav.
Yes.
Talking about... when you think you need something and you really don't, and
right.
it never satisfies that whole,
right.
like, I need that Mercedes.
That's what he said, yeah.
And I heard Kev Copeland talk about debt a little bit today, and he, you know, he's not into debt at all. And he talked about this idea. He goes, there were times, you know, when I wasn't yet 100% out of, you know, debt, or I was out of debt but not far enough away from it that I go, oh, I really could use that. Oh, maybe I could pay it off in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't there yet. But when you commit to being out of debt, the things that you think you need,
mm-hmm.
by the time you have the money for it, you're like, mm-hmm. well, I really didn't need that to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
That time passed.
Yes.
And so...
and also, when you pay cash for something, it becomes an actual thought and a choice.
Yes.
As opposed to just, oh, yeah, sure, I could use that. But when, let's say, you've got 520s in your wallet. Do you really want to spend that on, you know, some kind of crap?
No.
You know, you don't.
Nope, you don't.
I think it's because you're closer to it, you have a different choice perspective.
I think you do. Mm-hmm. I think it, like, we know that life is all about choices. And as we choose more life,
yes,
and what that really means for us.
Yes. I think it means this. I think more life to me, if you would ask me today with all my wisdom, would more life would mean more peace, more joy, not like happy, but yeah, sometimes. But real,
more fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Real
sometimes.
Joy.
Yeah.
And rest. And I have been on a rest quest, like the last year or so, meaning that rather than just creating superficial stuff, I'm choosing to rest,
right,
and have patience and wait and see what evolves from that.
Right.
And different things do evolve from those deeper places.
Right.
You know, and a lot of times the scales from the eyes or a veil is lifted, and it's truly worth it, the things that you get, you know, from that.
100%.
From that kind of rest.
Yeah. And how do we, and it's interesting when you set your life up not for that kind of rest,
mm-hmm,
how it's a struggle to get there.
Mm.
Because you have things in play that,
mm-hmm,
require you.
Yes.
To not be in that restful state.
Right.
You know, and you're like, okay, well, how do I get there from here?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like that.
It really is different. I think I think you use a different part of your brain, or that part is a different part that's activated, because you have to take a higher perspective view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to have patience. You have to develop that.
Right.
You know, and you have to have a third ear,
yes,
that listens, and, you know, different eyes that see different possibilities,
mm,
different potentials. You know, kind of like Kenny Rogers, like, you know, you got to know when to hold them. And then you got to know when to walk away.
Exactly. You know, real quick before we go, because we're, uh-huh, getting close to the end.
Oh, okay.
I had a win this week, and I want to share it with you.
Okay, good.
We talk about fasting sometimes as a way of kind of quieting the mind.
Yes.
And I think that we can define fasting in different ways. It doesn't have to be a whole-blown fasting.
Right.
But I think, you know, there's so much studies out there that giving yourself a 12-hour fast a day from food is really healthy for the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be at night when you're sleeping. That's 8 hours or seven
hours.
And then, exactly. You fill up that time, and then, you know, 3 hours before bed, maybe, you know, an hour before, after,
mm-hmm,
you wake up.
Mm-hmm.
I like to be able to eat within a half hour after I wake up, just so I kind of do it,
mm-hmm,
maybe 4 hours before bed or 5 hours,
right,
before bed.
Right.
And this idea that I had success with that this week.
Yes.
And I've been using my power to invoke my will to get my body in line,
mm-hmm,
to do this, and it hasn't been difficult.
Mm.
And so sometimes by trying the same thing, we may get different results.
You bet.
When we are invoking our spirit.
Yes.
Our spirit man.
You totally get different results.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I felt that I felt that this habit is ingrained in me now. I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I had times when I was out with people that I could have easily had something to eat because,
mm-hmm,
they were eating late.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, no, I'm passing.
Yes.
No big deal.
No.
I'm passing.
No big deal. Didn't feel anything. Just that's awesome, because I love the fact that most people go, oh, fasting, you know, 3 days, minimum 24
right.
hours, right?
Right.
But
what if we just start there?
Of just doing it at that level.
Yeah.
Wow.
Why not? Why?
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
And I think you felt more, I'll let you say what some of the fruits of that was for you.
Well, first of all, I felt I was getting my discipline in order. You know, I was building that muscle.
Mm-hmm.
I felt more peace, more joy, less confusion in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like we talk about, either you're 99% committed or
right.
100% committed.
Right.
And if you're 99%, it's a painful place to be.
Isn't it?
But if you're 100, there's no question. It just is what it is.
Yes.
So I ask, as we're done with our show tonight, go to The Clutterfly Effect on Amazon. Buy that book, The Clutterfly Effect. Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation. Please go And then also have a wonderful week. And
you know what, Julie? It was great.
It was great. It was great.